Hello, Virgo, and welcome to your 2014-2015 birthday reading. My name is Eric Francis, your astrologer, here to tell you a little bit about your charts and the conditions as they are developing and brewing, and all in all, tell you about what to me looks like an extraordinarily interesting and exciting and rich time in your life, even if it is a challenging time in your life. Generally, those come together, the potential and the sense of challenge. There is a kind of a quality of existence where I think humans always need to rise to the occasion, and that in turn helps them bring out the best of who we are, helps us all bring out the best of who we are. And this is one of those times in your life. And it's been going on for a while, and it will go on for a while. And as I must do with the aspects that develop over long periods of time, you who live with those aspects for long periods of time must be continually evaluating the influences and reinterpreting them. And so when we're talking about transits that might last 8 or, in one case, more like 20 years, that calls for continual rethinking of what this is about. And I'd like to start with one of those transits, which is the thing that is the most distinctive feature in your charts right now, which is what's going on across the dial from your sign over in Pisces, which is the seventh house away from your sun. So when doing sun sign astrology, it's called the seventh solar house. And if you are Virgo rising and count whole sign houses, it is the seventh whole sign away from your ascendant, which is the oldest method of counting houses. You don't use the cusps to define the house, but rather the whole sign. And that whole sign method I apply both to solar houses and then also to counting from the ascendant, mainly because I don't have your natal chart to look at. However, I am depending on a very old tradition to do this, which is one of the reasons why it works. And so let's talk about that seventh house, which is really quite an extraordinary place for you right now. And as I sit here speaking to you on the evening of September 5th, just 3 days ahead of the Pisces new moon, full moon that's about to come through this house, the sun being in Virgo and the moon about to be in Pisces. So there will be a rather extraordinary conjunction between the full moon and this group of planets in your seventh house. And one of the things that distinguishes these planets is that they are all slow-moving points. And in astrology, the power of a planet and that planet's movement through your chart, called a transit, has much less to do with the size of the planet and more to do with the slowness of the planet. This is kind of a strange thing to think about, because you usually think, well, size is what gives impact. And sometimes that's true. I mean, sometimes larger planets can describe the larger forces at work. And yet, it seems from much experience with addressing these points and all that the world has learned about Pluto since Pluto was discovered in 1930, the first, you might think, a true modern planet, in that it is one of the small planets it is now no longer considered a planet, and it's, you know, much tinier than its neighbor Neptune by a factor of a lot, tens of thousands or something like that. And so one of the ways we learned about the small, slow points is from Pluto. The other way we learned about the slow, small points is from Chiron. And Chiron is what I would say for you the main defining feature of your seventh house. And the seventh house, I have not said this yet, is as your opposite location, opposite sign, is the house of relationships. And so there's a tangible syntax to that. One's own sign, house, those words are used interchangeably, but for you, we're going to count Virgo as your sign, and the first house in your chart is mirrored by what happens exactly opposite it, and that is in Pisces. And so that describes two things mainly. It describes relationships of any kind, friends, enemies, frenemies, marriage is described in there too, the perfect kind of which way is this going to go relationship, partners, business partners, and diversity of others. And it describes the environment, one's total gestalt within which you live. And so there is a collection of planets brewing in your seventh house. They include Chiron, which is now about halfway through its journey through Pisces, somewhat amazingly, as well as Neptune, which is nowhere near halfway through its journey across Pisces. Neptune is much slower even than Chiron. And then there is an obscure point that is basically not really talked about in astrology unless you happen to be reading Planet Waves, and this point is called Borysici. And then there is another planet similar to Chiron, a centaur. Borysici, by the way, is a bit more like Pluto. It has a, I think, a 292 or 296 year orbit, just shy of 300. Pluto's is 250. So we're really talking about things that take a while to go around the sun and therefore have impact. And then there is Nessus. Nessus is a centaur like Chiron. Centaurs are orbit crossers, and so they get their emphasis, their energy, their strength, their unusual qualities from both being slow and small, and then also being orbit crossers. So there's this interesting collection of new discoveries in Pisces. And this is the environment that you're living in, and it also describes your relationships. Now, for its part, Nessus is currently on the line between Aquarius and Pisces, and it made a visit to Pisces in 2014 for, I guess, about 5 months or so, 4 or 5 months. Now it's currently back in Aquarius, and then early next year it will enter Pisces and be there. Now, each on its own of these planets is an extraordinary influence. Extraordinary meaning non-ordinary. Non-ordinary in astrology is described by, well, you can't see it in the sky. You need this special thing, a telescope, to see it, even to catch a glimpse at it. And even then, it's very nearly impossible to see. Some of these distant points, all you really get is a speck. You don't really get any details except maybe about the spectrum of light that it's emitting, which tells you a little bit, but you can't really see it and, you know, notice whether there's a tree on the surface. And they are all very distinct in their action. They handle very different subject matter. And I would say that they describe the unusual people who are in your life. They describe the options that you have for who you're relating to and how you relate to them. And they are all what I would say represent pretty big challenges that are constantly pushing you to rise to some new level, some new capability, some new capacity, some new depth of understanding, deeper level of contact with your humanity and that of other people. And as I've suggested, even one of these would make a story, would be interesting, would be enough to make your life meaningful and to describe something unusual and distinctive going on in your relationships. There have been many previous times when these planets have acted on their own, when they've either the others were not yet discovered, or they were scattered around the zodiac and acting on various circumstances and on people's charts one at a time. And now they are together in what is one of the most interesting alignments in the entire sky right now. The second most interesting, well, it's tied for first, is going on in Sagittarius. I'm going to come to that maybe in the second section. But let's stick with this thing about your environment described by this group of planets. The feeling tone, the experience of what you perceive, who you meet, how you are forced to, interesting choice of words, but it's enforced because these slow planets can have a way of saying, deal with me or else ... unspecified consequences. And they can also represent challenges that you can opt into or out of, depending on your understanding of karma and metaphysics. You may or may not feel that you chose all of this, but then it may very well have a faded quality to it, a sensation that this is all happening for a reason, and that it's happening now for a reason, that these things are happening together for a reason. Now, of this group, which consists again of Centaur Chiron, Centaur Nessus, trans-Neptunian object or Cubiwano, or classical Kuiper object Borsisi, and Neptune, now considered a classical planet, of these, I would suggest that the most significant of them is Chiron. And one of the reasons I say that is because when Chiron was discovered in 1977, and interest in Chiron sprung up right away, really in the last 2 years, 3 years of the 70s, and then in the early 1980s, was a very exciting time for astrologers, because this, not only a new planet that was not an asteroid, because there were some asteroids by 1977, but this was not, clearly not an asteroid, and not like anything ever discovered previously, astrologers really took interest. And when they took interest, they found out that this new thing, Chiron, had a very strong feeling of Virgo to it, that there was a potent force concentrating this healing and service and study quality that Virgo has. I would say those are the three most distinctive qualities of Virgo, are the devotion to healing, to study, and to service. And Chiron embodied these in a moving point and a mythological figure in the form of what you might think of as a mentor or teacher. And that is one of the most distinctive properties of Chiron, is this mentor of healing, of learning, and of service. And so with Chiron in your seventh house, there is this presence that may have a form you recognize, in the form of a person or a relationship, maybe about to manifest in some way, maybe something that is in your life, but you haven't quite recognized the value and the importance at this time in your life of this particular person's presence. But in any event, the symbol, the astrological image of that person is present, as is the theme of mentorship. And so it's fair to treat anyone you encounter like a mentor, though with Chiron, there are often certain characteristics that describe the individual, which include their level of knowledge, their willingness to teach, the fact that they are probably actively in practice in some way, and that you may not feel as if you are much of an intellectual match necessarily for this person. And yet part of the challenge of Chiron's presence is very specifically rising to the occasion of that intellectual match, the match of that gift, and learning in a form of direct transfer that is by example and by the conveyance of information, both, and other methods as well, including supervision of your practice, including the potential for collaboration. A very important form of mentorship is someone with whom you collaborate. And there is, in this experience, possibly more than one experience, since the seventh also represents environments as well as the relationships that happen in those environments. And the opportunity to mentor yourself with someone who has a lot to offer, a lot to teach you, most of which has been gained through direct and often pioneering experience that this person possesses. So Chiron is not really talking about book knowledge. There is some involved, but the books are only a commentary on reality and a kind of, in some ways, ranging from a kind of repository of reference material to a footnote. The real teaching of Chiron comes through direct example and through transfer of knowledge through shared experience of some kind. The person's often older. There are times when Chiron can manifest as someone younger, but I would say generally the type of experience required for Chiron requires someone who has been through a bit and may, in the case of someone who is, let's say, young-bodied in this lifetime, someone who is clearly an old soul. Now, one thing about these mentor relationships is that people have a way of not noticing them. And if they notice them, taking them for granted, and I would call your attention to that tendency in humanity, and especially in the current state of the human family, which is not so focused on knowledge. It is not so focused on service and on this type of learning, though there are pockets of awakening, as, you know, was predicted, and as there have always been, really, pockets of consciousness. And sometimes in those pockets, there can be a respect for teachers that is cultivated. More often than not, teachers are taken for granted, and opportunities for mentorship not seen for what they are, not respected, valued, and embraced for what they are. And sometimes they are resented, and sometimes part of that resentment involves the ways in which a person can provoke our need for healing and transformation along the way to teaching and gaining experience. And to that, I would say that one of the most important necessities of these types of relationships where there is real transfer of knowledge is also to provoke healing. And part of what that relationship will do, if it is tuned well or functioning in alignment with its dharma, is to provide an opportunity for that healing to take place as a necessary element in your growth process. So look for these people, and I suggest that you notice and also be respectful in a new way of what you are being offered. Now, there is a second way that Chiron can manifest. You might call it the lower vibration of Chiron, an alternate vibration of Chiron, where it is the presence of the person who is injured and who is seeking help in some way and who is expecting you to fix them, or because of your service orientation to you, it seems like the thing to do, which is to assist the person in their healing process and be there for them. And both of these conditions can exist at the same time. I think that when one's healing gifts are activated by a powerful transit, particularly a Chiron transit, that can certainly indicate the presence of both a teacher or teachers, and then also people who show up needing support and guidance. And it is up to you to maintain clarity and to be aware of the boundaries that you have to maintain in order to remain productive and to, you know, honor your devotion to service and learning and healing. Now, one of the themes that has come up with this year's Virgo cycle, which I've been commenting on in a recent edition of Planet Waves FM, maybe two recent editions, I don't know. Well, anyway, it'll be two by the time I'm done, at least, and then a couple of editions of the Thursday night newsletter have been about Virgo as an integration point, Virgo as a way of reconciling opposites. And one of the most important opposites we need to recognize and heal and embrace is the opposition between self and other. And this is a challenging one in our culture because the boundaries are so often blurred. But you have the power of Chiron, and this is a, like many things with Chiron, kind of a two-edged thing, because Chiron grants consciousness, and yet because it is so likely to represent you as a kind of an honorary ruling planet of Virgo and is placed in your seventh house, there is something of an extraordinary mirror factor going on where you are being shown something about yourself, and you may really like some of what you see and you may not really like some of what you see, and yet it's up to you to work with and integrate and kind of piece by piece, idea by idea, experience by experience, parse out, sort out, allow into your consciousness, resolve the things that are provoked and triggered by the presence of this process, by this kind of catalyst that's present in your life. And so this raises the necessity for a kind of a passionate devotion to your own consciousness evolution and your own healing process. And it's very much commingled in your relationships. And I would propose that there may be one very distinct relationship of the mentorship teaching type that is worth investing most of your energy into, with someone you may determine really is your true teacher at this time. And there may also be one relationship with someone who seems to be the person and or the relationship that is struggling the most for healing, the person who seems to be the most injured, where you're in the role of teacher, you're the one who is having to assist this person, seemingly spiritually younger or less experienced or in more trouble or something, through their thing, and the potential gains, learning gains, growth and consciousness evolution gains are very likely to be matched for these two relationships, though coming from different directions, from different what you might think of as sort of like different locations along the spectrum of life experience. Now, with this focus on Chiron, which again I would just propose is extra emphasized because of Chiron's relationship to Virgo, there are these other points. There are three additional slow movers that are associated with Pisces and therefore with your relationships right now. And you need to keep an eye on these and be able to sort out the influences. The presence of Nessus, I would look for, if you want an illustration for that, as a situation that emerged at some point in 2014 and then went below the surface. Something that went on for about 3 to 4 months and something that just seemed kind of weird or unusually wrought with struggle in some way, including the presence of a person whose struggle was not necessarily yours or having anything to do with yours, but who made themselves known and maybe threw you for a kind of a loop in terms of how you would handle this kind of an experience. How exactly is it that you would, do you know enough? Are you experienced enough? Are you skilled enough? Are you in over your head, for example, would be one of the properties of Nessus. And another property with Nessus would be an emphasis on the need for someone to really take responsibility for the situation. And if not take responsibility to fully understand the lines of accountability involved, and that might not be a popular subject. There may have been a controversy around that subject, and there may be a need for you to do a lot of sorting out in terms of understanding who is accountable and why, and certain other specifics, all of which come back to this thing of responsibility. Who is holding the buck? That is to say, the buckhorn. Who is not going to pass the buck? Who is going to deal, as in deal with and deal the cards? All poker terminology associated with the term pass the buck. But the theme of Nessus is the buck stops here. And so the question is, what buck horn and where does it stop? Who is the person with whom it stops? The next influence I'm going to suggest is an environmental influence, more than something embodied in a person, though it is possible that it is embodied as a person. And if so, I would propose it is some kind of an uncle figure. But let's think of it more of an environmental factor. And the planet is Neptune, and Neptune has completed a little bit more than one orbit from its time of discovery in the 1840s, so it too has a very slow orbit around the sun. It is the largest of the planets, and by large I mean pretty darn large, like 800 times the size of the Earth. It is largely made of water. It is named for a god of water. These astronomers are much better than they think at being aligned with the spiritual nature of these things that they discover and like to say have no power or information value apart from, kind of little couple of facts and figures of astronomy. And the environment that Neptune can represent is one of isolation. It also has the quality of a kind of a dreamy presence, a fantasy presence, people who might float into your life and then float out of your life, situations where there is a fine line between the fantasy of the person and the reality of the person. They may use that factor, to the benefit of the situation. It may also not work so well. But the quality I have noticed about angular Neptune, angular meaning in one of the angular houses, in this case the seventh is one of the four angular houses, is that it can have a feeling of isolation, of people being so close and yet you can't really touch them, or of a sense of being invisible, not being able to feel like you can be noticed, feeling like you are socially out of step. And one of the ways this aligns quite nicely with the action of Chiron is that Chiron is the factor in astrology, one of the only ones that I know of, maybe the only one at all, that could truly be called shamanic in nature. And by shamanic, I mean something that consciously and dependably, by the invocation of training and accessible power, is able to bridge the worlds, to bridge the dimensions, the dream time in the physical plane, a number of permutations on that. And so the healing training, the healing experiences that you're having, the mentorship that you're having fit this quality of shamanic. But when that quality is present, it is often the case, I would say, helpful and even rather necessary to suspend normal social relationships so that the deeper experiences of this depth of growth can be experienced without having people who don't believe in this, who lack the experience, or who don't have that dharmic calling, that vocational, on a profound level, pull into the experience, or not messing with your learning, messing with your head, getting in your way, leading you to doubt yourself. And so Neptune, in this case, provides a kind of a divine protection, a divine space within which you can work and grow and learn. Now, the isolation of Neptune can be real in the sense that, wow, you may have noticed that your relationships have changed. Maybe you haven't had a partner for a while. Maybe the partnership you have seems to have grown in a direction where there is some isolation, where the person doesn't really understand the depth of growth that you're going to. This is something that happens very often, where people will be in a similar place for a while, and then as time goes on, the evolutionary growth of one of them will be activated, and in the other one, not so activated. And that can cause some stress, and it can lead you to need to make decisions based on what you know is the thing that you must do for your own growth, which, owing to the nature, the kind of collective, really, nature of Chiron and the Virgo-Pisces axis, which is where you live, compel you to make decisions and to act on behalf of your own good and the greater good, is what I am getting at. So with Chiron, there is a transcendence of something that you could describe as strictly personal interest. It ain't what it used to be anymore, and Chiron is a pathway, is a key beyond that strictly personal interest. Now, you, of course, are a person. You are someone who has your own personal interests, around the time of your birthday, there are what are called the personal planets passing through your sign at the time of the Virgo new moon, which is usually the new moon is the chart that I use as the basis chart for the solar return reading, of which this is one. Mercury, the planet that rules your sign, was right there in Virgo and making an exact opposition to Chiron, highlighting the need on a deep individual level for you to make contact with something larger, to go beyond the ordinary, beyond something that is predictable, something that is known, and to take a chance on an experience with a combination of something and someone, and granting not necessarily a sense of life being larger than normal, but you might say more penetrable than normal, that you are able to go through openings you hadn't seen before into spaces that you hadn't known existed, which include spaces within yourself, and where you are likely to be experiencing some kind of extreme rev of your capacity for growth and healing, almost to the point of obsession, where there is something that you must get right. There is some path that you are on that you know is a valid path, and you know that it is a narrow path, but it is one that leads somewhere that it is up to you to make the decisions to embrace. And I think you know how much is hanging on this, hanging in the balance on this, and the depth to which you will be capable of going as you devote yourself fully to the mastery of the learning that is being offered to you right now. All right, this is a good time to pause, and when I return in a digital instant, I will have more to say about your charts, and I'm going to look in particular at what's going on in the fire signs. Rather amazing. And also, actually, I'm probably going to come back, though I'll decide at the time, and start with what is happening in Scorpio, and we'll take it from there. And by that I mean that on the day of the Virgo new moon on the 25th of August, there was an exact conjunction of Mars and Saturn. And I think that in many ways, this conjunction describes the healing process that you are in. It sets an agenda. It is a quite a amazing little bit of astrology. And I lived through it, as did you, only in a conscious way, watching it happen day by day, minute by minute. And one of the most unusual conjunctions I've felt or seen in a while. And I'm going to tell you what that's about, at least in my opinion, as described by your solar chart. So, all right, thanks for listening. Isn't astrology beautiful? I love it. I don't get bored with it ever. And even when I think that I have nothing to say, which was not the case beginning this, but even if I do, the minute I start reading the chart in earnest, the chart springs to life. All right, back in a bit.